Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opel, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
The Land Development Agency will play a key role in delivering the government's new multi-billion euro Housing for All plan. The Minister for Housing, Darragh O'Brien, told Morning Ireland earlier that he has tooled up the LDA and they've 3.5 billion euro to develop on state agency land, which he says will happen this year. Well, I'm joined now in the studio by Land Development Agency CEO John Coleman. John, you're very welcome.
Thanks very much for having me, Claire.
Are you tooled up?
We certainly are, yeah. And I think with Housing for All, there's some major initiatives mentioning the LDA and that will really gear us up now and ready to deliver.
Mm. It's a lot of pressure, though. I mean, the minister saying publicly that this will happen this year, that you will be building on state agency land in 2021.
Yeah, so we are very close to getting on site on a couple of schemes. We're actually out to tender on one major scheme at the moment. There's contractors running the rule over our 600 home scheme out in Shangana, which is entirely social and affordable. So everything that we do in the LDA is focused on getting these sites to construction as soon as possible.
Will you explain to us what exactly the LDA will be doing?
So there's two things that the LDA does, and it's the best way to think about it is in the near term and in the longer term. So in the near term, we have access to state land. We have a responsibility to deliver 100% social and affordable homes on that state land in Dublin and Cork. And everything that we do on those projects that we have is about getting those to site and get them on to construction to get them delivered as both cost rental and affordable purchase homes. Then the longer term, the ethos behind the LDA when it was set up was one of an active land manager, a land assembly agency. And when you look at the root cause of a lot of the housing problems that we have today, it's because we haven't managed our land coherently and in a strategic way so that decades later that you have serviced, planned and ready to go land that's able to be developed. And that's a problem that we're living with now. We don't have that. And we have a number of strategic areas that we're also working on over the longer term.
So you're finding the land and then you're providing the homes.
That's exactly it. So we've worked very closely with the government and also local authorities, I might add, in order to look at the state lands that are in our control as a public sector, and to see can we use those for better uses. And I'm delighted to see that the government has committed to transferring lands that can yield an additional up to 15,000 homes to the LDA through Housing for All. That's on top of the 6,000 homes that we're already working on. So that's a total land bank of around 20,000 homes.
So everything that you do will be affordable and social.
In Dublin, it's where the and Cork, where the affordability issues are most acute. That's where we're focused on. So the requirement is 100% social and affordable on those lands.
In June, you told the Business Post that the social housing targets will have to be horses for courses. For example, in an area that already has a lot of social housing, you might focus more on private housing.
Since then, the Land Development Agency Act has been passed, which has changed that and requires the LDA to deliver 100% social and affordable in Dublin and Cork. I think we can do additional social homes as well. Like, say, for instance, on the Shangana scheme that I mentioned, 200 out of the 600 homes are social. So it'll be very much dependent on the area. And where we work with local authorities, say, for instance, on their land, they might have a requirement for more social homes and we're happy to provide those.
Mm-hmm. So what you said in June doesn't apply now, because the Act won't allow you to do the horses for courses bit.
It has changed. But what I would say is that affordable housing kind of alleviates those issues. So say, for instance, if you have high elements of social housing in particular areas, affordable housing is a totally legitimate thing to bring to bear on those, just the same as private housing. So I would be ambivalent as to whether it's affordable or private housing.
And will the Land Development Agency make the call on what's affordable in an area?
That'll be guided by regulations coming from the Affordable Housing Bill. So there's two ways that you can provide affordable housing. It's through affordable rental and affordable purchase. And the regulations coming out are very clear that they, on the basis and the prices at which they're to be provided on, and we'll be working with those regulations.
Much has been made about the obstacles that come with the planning process. Will you be open to challenge this agency if residents dispute the ratio, for example, that you decide in a certain area when it comes to affordable, social and private?
So we one of the key things that we do with every scheme that we work on is engage in extensive public consultation beforehand, and we listen to local communities and residents, but also we look at the housing need in the area as well, and that all informs the tenure mix. That,
but you're not going to be able to make everybody happy, and that's a problem that you're going to face, isn't it?
You never can. Developments have a profound impact sometimes in local communities and local areas, and people are going to be naturally concerned about those. You can never achieve 100% of everyone's particular objectives, but we'd like to think that we achieve a balance, having listened to people through consultation.
Mm-hmm. Your former chairman, John Moran, said back in April he felt the role of the Land Development Agency had been curtailed and that the agency was underfunded. Now, clearly you have more money, so that may be addressed, but curtailed?
No, I don't think so. John was always very passionate and very ambitious about the agency and pushed hard always to expand our remit. But through Housing for All, by essentially trebling the amount of land that's available to us now and increasing significantly the money, which I might add can be recycled. It's not a one-shot thing, the €3.5 billion that's available to us.
What does that mean? Can be recycled?
Say, for instance, affordable homes will be sold to individuals out of that, so they will raise their own mortgages. Money will come back in that we'll put straight back into delivering more affordable homes.
Okay, so you'll be tasked with making money as well.
Not
regenerating your own budget.
Recycling the money so that it can produce multiple homes rather than just a one-off.
You came from NAMA, isn't that right?
I previously worked there.
Okay, right, yeah. And some of your colleagues at the LDA worked at NAMA as well. Is that right?
That's true.
NAMA was supposed to spend $4 billion between 2015 and 2020 delivering 20,000 homes. Now, it didn't succeed in doing that. It got just over 12,000, I think, was what the target that was actually met. Does that, would you say, bode well for the Land Development Agency? Couldn't do it at NAMA, can you do it here?
NAMA had a different remit. The LDA has a totally different remit, and the remit for the LDA is very clear. NAMA was obviously set up to recover money from banks that collapsed during the financial crisis, and the LDA is squarely focused on housing delivery. So I think our focus will mean that we should be able to achieve the aims that we set out.
So the overriding mandate with NAMA was commercial?
NAMA's mandate through its legislation was overarchingly commercial. Mm-hmm. The LDA is squarely focused on affordable housing.
Yeah, but you're still trying to make some money from these houses as well in order to build more homes.
Yeah, I would characterise it as recycling it back.
Yeah, I don't really understand, where that comes into. Yeah. You will be selling houses, right?
Yeah, very, very simply. Selling houses to willing purchasers at very good value for affordable, at affordable levels. So they will own the houses then thereafter. And we will take that money that we receive back from them and produce more houses.
Okay. Will they be able to sell the houses at whatever rate they wish?
That will be a matter for the affordable housing policies and regulations that come out from the affordable housing bills.
Mm-hmm. But it is once the purchaser buys the house from you, they own it. You're out at that point.
Exactly. We won't have an involvement going forward, and there will be the owner will have full control over the house after.
Last month, it was reported that you were concerned about salaries that you could offer at the Land Development Agency, that they're not high enough to attract the executives that you need. This came from an FOI of one of your meetings, and there were particular concerns about the role of the executive in charge of construction. Has that been addressed?
It has been addressed. So we are in a competitive market for construction skills. There's a lot of development happening out there, not just in housing, but also in commercial development as well. So there's a high demand for those skills. But we think that people that we attract to the LDA are really bought into its mandate, its mission, really. Mm-hmm. And we're actually quite happy with the level of response that we get in relation to the jobs that we put out there.
Have you hired that person, the executive in charge of construction?
We haven't yet, but we're close to making an appointment.
Okay, because it was 110,000 that was on offer for that role, but it didn't seem from what I read from that report that that was going to be enough to attract the right person. That's what you yourself said.
Yeah, it is a challenge, especially when there's such a high demand and you have private sector players sometimes paying more. But we've gone out, we ran a process, we got a huge amount of interest actually in it. The people that we interviewed seemed very bought into the mission of the agency and the long-term goals of it. So I'm quite confident that we'll have a very strong outcome.
Have you sought to increase those salaries?
The salaries are individually negotiated, so we don't have pay scales per se, so we have a bit of flexibility because we do. The reality is we do have to compete with the private sector for staff.
And on that, I mean, will the Land Development Agency be directly employing people who work on the sites, bricklayers and plasterers and plumbers and so on?
No, the vast majority of housing, in fact, all housing is delivered mainly by contractors. So we would engage contractors who operate off very slim margins to go and deliver the homes on our behalf.
Mm-hmm. And because you're offering all of this work now, there's going to be a huge demand on finding workers. But also we know that the cost of materials has risen exponentially over the last couple of months. That must be a huge challenge for you.
It is a challenge for sure. Materials costs have risen quite significantly. I think there's some level of optimism that as supply chains recover from COVID and factories start opening up again, that will alleviate somewhat into 2023. But it is a challenge at the moment. I think the key thing for the LDA is to be clever about how it procures so that it doesn't get stuck at a point in the market of high price inflation, that we have flexibility to moderate that as things hopefully recover.
But you are expected to deliver really quickly. That means you've got to hit the ground running.
We do, yeah. So there's a number of ways that we're going to do that. We obviously have a number of state lands now that are through planning processes and that are in the planning process at the moment. And that's one thing. But we're also looking at consented land that's out there already that isn't being developed. There are 80,000 planning permissions consented throughout the country that have not commenced. That's a problem. So we're about to launch an initiative called Project Tussock, where we'll go and look at those consented lands, try and understand why they're not getting developed and try and bring them into the net for affordable housing. So we are targeting about 5,000 homes for affordable housing that will be delivered through that initiative, and that will happen very soon. So that will accelerate our delivery.
What's your theory on those consented lands, as you say? Is it services around them, infrastructure that isn't there?
In some cases, there might be infrastructure problems. In a more general sense, we would find that there might be viability challenges or financial challenges for the people that own the lands that aren't, they mightn't have the bandwidth or the capability or the track record to deliver them, or there might be financial constraints in the way. Okay. So we're looking at those.
They still mightn't be willing to sell you that land, though.
They might not, but with 80,000 consented permissions out there, if we can start unlocking those, starting with the early delivery of 5,000 units, I'd have a confidence that we'll be able to do that.
And that's where the vacant site tax, of course, will help you.
I think in the longer term, as a policy objective, to have a not just carrots, but sticks that force land into production, I think is going to be a positive thing. I think actors in the market will react to that and manage that. I think it's going to push land into the hands of people that want to develop it. So I think that's a positive policy.
Mm-hmm. Because we seem to be waiting, from what the Minister said today, for this survey to be completed so we can find out how many vacant sites there are. I don't really understand why that information is needed before a tax is put in place. I don't know if you can answer that for me.
I guess, particularly in the Department of Finance, they're probably going to have to run the rule over the expected receipts from that and the ultimate outcome of it, that if a tax is brought to bear, is there enough land that's going to be pushed into the hands of those that want to deliver it as a result. So I think it makes sense to try and understand what the scope of it is.
But you seem to have a fairly good idea of what's out there that has permission and is not being used.
Yeah, that
I should ask you.
Well, that information is publicly available, but look, it's never as straightforward as that. So I'm sure that policy will be brought in very soon.
Okay, just one last one on the minister writing to the Catholic Church seeking first refusal on unused land banks owned by the church, and he suggested in that letter that the church could work with yourselves at the LDA. Has there been any progress on that front?
Not yet, but what I would say is that the LDA would have a very strong openness to working with the church where they wanted to facilitate the delivery of affordable housing. That would obviously necessitate reduced land values to make that happen, but we would have a strong openness to working with any church body that wanted to partner with us there.
Have you identified any church-owned land that you'd be interested in?
We would have a general understanding of what's owned by different players in the market in terms of land ownership. So particularly where we're targeting consented land, that could be brought to bear. But as I say, a meeting or a dialogue with any church body, we'd be very open to it where it was focused on affordable housing.
All right, John, thank you very much for coming in today. That's John Coleman, who's CEO of the Land Development Agency.